The Rabbit Hole by Jack Soren, performed by Hilary Huber. The blistering summer sun boils the air around us, as it usually does round about noon on an over-humidified, cloudless day. I can't even hear the cicadas anymore. The creatures apparently all screamed out. Perhaps they have succumbed to the heat's hidden poison. Or maybe it's just the roar of the undulating traffic on the other side of the field that's washing everything out beneath its unending waves. I don't know. I seem to remember days when a field full of waist-high, sun-bleached grass excited me. But that was so long ago, it doesn't even seem like a memory. More a story someone told me once. In truth, I've searched so many fields that they're all starting to meld into one. Even the lush green oaks that surround this one, oozing their peppery scent with unbridled generosity, leave me cold. The days when I used to nestle down out of sight in the privacy of long waving blades with boys bubbling with passion, almost too eager to bear me to Mother Earth, are long gone. Even those memories are as intangible and distant as the hazy exhaust fumes hanging on the edge of the field that opens up onto the highway. But I shouldn't be letting my mind wander. I should be concentrating, analyzing my strokes. I should be waiting for the plunging of the broomstick in my hand to hit more than thatch and dirt. Waiting for the fervently desired, yet frantically abhorred, hiss of a heat-bloated target finally bullseyed. The others, there's about 15 of us today, less than half the complement of a week ago, seem able to hold their concentration unwaveringly as they weave this way and that, piercing the cover with everything from hockey sticks to dead branches, their faces contorting whenever they mistake a knoll for their quarry. And I should at least be as focused as they are. About a half an hour after redoubling my efforts, I come up beside a young police officer who has the visage of a man who is stirring muffin batter, his stick plunging in rapid, shallow stabs, but not making the side-to-side motions that the police themselves showed us. As I approach, he gives a weak smile, and I can tell immediately it is not the camaraderie smile of someone who is about to have an exchange with another involved in the same heroic endeavor, but the hormone-controlled lip curl of a man about to deal up his best banter for a member of the opposite sex. Even so, I continue to approach, somehow drawn to him.
"Hot one, huh?" he offers.
I think if this is his best, then I have nothing to worry about. At the same time, strangely recognizing the officer's face. No, not his face, but I sigh in defeat. So much flees my mind's grasp now. Memories like smoke in a Santa Ana wind. "Yes."
"Never fails," he says,
the motion of his stick slowing as he switches his concentration from his wrist to his mouth, and perhaps elsewhere too.
"During the week, you fry. On the weekend, it rains, you know?"
I nod. He reacts to my silence, his attention haphazardly returning to his job, and he heads across the field, looking as if he might have thought of a few things to say, but the heat and my silence precluding him sharing them. I shuffle along with him, just a few paces behind, somehow connected to him. The closeness of a human is something I desperately need right now, despite the risks. Like figure skaters, we move in unison as we cover most of the field that has been left to us.
"You've been out here before, haven't you?"
he says, abruptly ceasing his listless stabs and turning to face me.
"I mean, I've seen you, haven't I?"
He digs into his pocket, pulls out some cigarettes, and offers the pack to me. I decline, the cravings in me doing flip-flops for the refusal.
"Do you know if anything has turned up today? Anything at all?"
I ask, trying not to plead. He lights his cigarette, inhales and stares emotionally into the setting sun.
I wonder if the dramatics are for me or him.
Nope, nada. And if you ask me?
He takes a drag in mid-sentence.
We're not going to.
I feel my heart flutter. Why not?
Too much blood in the car,
he answers, almost warily. By the sudden apprehensive look on his face, I can tell he's hoping I'm not a relative or a close friend.
Besides, we've searched this field 3 times already. If you ask me, we're beating a dead horse. She's gone.
But the older officer, the name fails me.
Detective Higgins.
He politely supplies in between drags. Yes, Detective Higgins told us that a field searched 5 times wouldn't have every single inch covered. Isn't that right?
Well, yes and no.
I cock my head in an attempt to urge him to finish his thought.
It is true, but he partly says that to keep our asses out of the slings when we don't find anything. Pardon my French.
But if it's true... He takes control of the conversation from me.
Look around. There's maybe 12 people here. Next week, if we look again next week, there'll be less than half that. People are losing interest. We're not going to find anything, even if there was something to find.
The last he says, shaking his head and screwing the smoking butt into the grass with his boot heel, a strange confidence in his words. But we have to keep looking, I blurt a little too loudly. A few people look at us for a moment, but then Detective Higgins blows a whistle on the other side of the field, and the stabbers shoulder their tools and begin to head in. I horrifically realize it's over.
Don't get me wrong,
the young policeman says as he begins to walk backwards towards his detective.
If it was up to me, I'd keep looking. Pete's handing out tickets.
I stand quietly for a few moments, staring at the policeman and the departing searchers. I must look pitiful as the tug on my soul trebles. But words elude me.
It's not up to me,
he finally says with a shrug, turning around and walking briskly towards the crowd on the far side of the meadow. The broomstick slips through my hand and bounces with a quiet rustle into the wind dancing blades at my feet. I try to pick it up, but I can't. I give up and stand straight again. He's almost to the crowd. I'm alone in the grass, helpless. But you're a policeman. You have to help me. You have to. My propriety is slipping down the sucking rabbit hole with everything else. I know I'm here. You have to help me. It's your job. You have to find me. Then I recognize him. The familiarity of his broad shoulders, swaying pelvis, and blocky square head. Even without the mask, I can see him straddled over me, finished his thrusts. And now jabbing viciously with the gleaming blade. Something buzzes in the policeman's ear. He waves away the non-existent insect with a quick flick of his hand. He turns to call to the young woman, hoping to lure her out for one of his special drinks. But there is nothing behind him except the golden, swaying grass. Whispers seem to ride on the gusts that roller coaster across the field for a moment. But then they too are gone.